Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. This morning's meditation is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning at verse 38. I read from the God's Word translation. Then Jesus called the crowd to himself along with his disciples. He said to them, "Those who want to follow me must say no to the things they want. Pick up their crosses and follow me. Those who want to save their lives will lose them. But those who lose their lives for me and for the good news will save them. What good does it do for people to win the whole world yet lose their lives? Or what should a person give in exchange for life? If people are ashamed of me and what I say in this unfaithful and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of those people when he comes with the holy angels in his Father's glory." This is our text, dear friends in Christ. Recently, at the end of December, my wife and I bought a new automobile. And we've noticed that it takes a while for us to get used to all the stuff that's there. Especially, it's different from the Ford we used to have. It's a Subaru, and it has a lot of stuff on it. So we have to look at the manual. My wife is better at that than me. And she tells me how things work, and that's great. We also have the maintenance schedule that it would be very good for us to pay attention to. How many miles do we wait for the oil change or rotate the tires? There's just a lot of things to know, a lot of suggestions for how we take care of this car. Today we are going to talk about the importance of taking care of our soul. We get sidetracked and think more of earning a living or think more of pleasing ourselves or think more of and pursue other things. We aren't taking care of our soul. In fact, we could be in the process of exchanging our soul for things that perish, like Jesus warns about in Mark 8. Jesus considered our soul, our body, so important that he gave himself completely to saving it from hell's eternal destruction and damnation. And so we ask the question, how do we take care of our soul? Peter had just made a strong confession of his Lord, saying, "You are the Messiah." Immediately following this confession, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus had brought his disciples to the realization that he was the Messiah, which God had promised for centuries that he would send. His disciples also came to believe that he was God in the flesh. However, Jesus had another task before him. The disciples had to understand that the Christ's work of redemption would include suffering and dying and rising. It did not include reigning in Jerusalem as an earthly king, many thought back then. Jesus wanted them to know that everything that he would face in Jerusalem, toward which he was walking, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, was indeed the will of his Father in heaven. And he was committed to accomplishing this will of his Father in heaven. It must be. It is necessary, it's translated. Yet the disciples, especially Peter, didn't understand these things. Peter was overwhelmed at the thought of Jesus suffering like he was being killed. Jesus was very dear to him. To Jesus wasn't only his Lord and his Messiah, Jesus was his friend, his rabbi, the one who had been very close to him. And Peter wondered, how could Jesus fulfill his role as Messiah if he were killed? It made no sense to Peter. He misunderstood and he played right into the hands of Satan, tempting Jesus to deny his life's mission, deny his Father's mission that he gave him. Peter failed to see the necessity of Jesus' death. However, Jesus had to die for the sins of the world. One commentary wrote, quote, "To this day, all who fail to see the damning power of sin are blind to the true necessity of the cross." End quote. You see, the cross on which Jesus would die was necessary because of mankind's sin, because of your sin and my sin. Now we can point our finger at Peter and think how foolish Peter was for not realizing how important Jesus' death and resurrection was. However, we can be just as sinful, perhaps in one sense even more so. For we can look back at the historic events of Jesus' death and resurrection. This view Peter did not have. Yet we can live as though these events are not all that important in our lives as it was. In our world today, we are tempted more and more to take Jesus' work of redemption as less and less important, perhaps because we've heard the account so many times. What a blessing that is to hear it many times. People outside of Christianity are bombarding us today with criticism of Christianity. God is being removed, or has been removed from our society bit by bit. And as a result, more and more people are leaving Christian faith. They are not giving a thought for their soul. Instead, they are exchanging their eternal soul for an existence dominated by material things, by pleasures, things that will perish and not last eternity. They just don't understand the importance of taking care of their soul. And so by way of examination, I ask, how about you? How about me? Do we take care of our soul? Do we live as though we understand why Jesus had to suffer and die and rise again? You've all probably heard the advertisement, I'm going back decades, so the younger ones may not have heard this. Quote, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Remember that? This, of course, is referring to the fact that it's terrible for someone to have a brilliant mind but have no money to get the education necessary to develop their potential. A mind is indeed a terrible thing to waste. According to the words of Jesus on our text, we could say a soul is a terrible thing to waste. Just think of what Jesus went through to save your soul and mine, to save every soul. Remember the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. Read from Luke. An angel from heaven appeared to Jesus. Just imagine, Jesus is very God and very God, created everything. An angel came to him and ministered to him, strengthened him. And being in anguish, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is how much Jesus valued your soul. Remember also, now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. This is how much Jesus values our soul. Remember also, they spit in Jesus' face, struck them, him, with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" This is how much Jesus valued our soul. Remember also, Pilate released Barabbas, imprisoned for insurrection and murder. But he had Jesus flogged, whipped, and handed Jesus over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus in the praetorium and gathered the whole of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on Jesus, and then they twisted a crown of thorns and set it on his head. But they weren't gentle with it, I'm sure. They put a staff in Jesus' right hand. They knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. But they spit on him and took a staff and struck him on the head again and again. This is how much Jesus valued our soul. Remember also the darkness of that first Good Friday. Jesus was forsaken by his Father in heaven. Now Jesus had spent many nights, entire nights, in prayer, talking with his Heavenly Father. And now the Father had forsaken Jesus on the cross. And so he wondered, remember the statement, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus valued your soul and my soul so much that he was forsaken by God the Father for you, for me, for all. And then on Easter, the glorious, remember, the angel said to the women, "He has risen just as he said." This is how much Jesus valued our souls. Jesus valued our souls so much that he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification, raised to life to declare us righteous. This is how important our souls are to Jesus. Our souls meant so much to him that he endured intense suffering with our sins on his holy body. He died in our place. He rose in victory from the dead. Our souls are important to our Lord. Do we live as though we understand this? How are you taking care of your soul, your life with God? Dear friends, look at your life. Consider your thoughts, your words, your actions each day. Consider them during the week, away from church, perhaps away from church people. Is your life describing how much you love and believe in Jesus? Or not so much? How does your living reflect how you are taking care of your soul? Does Jesus' teaching permeate what you think, what you say, how you act? Does Jesus' teaching describe who you are, a disciple of Messiah, the Christ? Do you take care of your soul? This is what Jesus was getting at when he spoke of bearing your cross. Having faith in Jesus is more than just knowing who Jesus is. It's more than just saying the right words in a church service, words that we've said many times. Faith in Jesus affects who we are, affects how we act in church, how we act away from church. It's who we are. Faith in Jesus affects our priorities, affects our focus in life, affects how we carry ourselves during the week in our jobs, in our relationships, and in trying times. Faith in Jesus is a life, a way of living. Do we really live as though we appreciate this truth? We take care of our relationship with our Lord. Listen, as Jesus said, Mark 8, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." At this point, Jesus calls the crowd who was also traveling with him and the disciples, and he speaks about the person who wants to be a disciple, a follower, a learner of Jesus, who wants to belong to Christ. And he says to this person, let him deny himself. To deny means to refuse association with. It means refuse companionship, to disown. The one to be disowned here is self, our sinful nature, our flesh. The sinful nature centers on the things of men and has no use for the things of God. This is the nature that the Apostle Paul said that nothing good lives in. Romans 7. This is a part of each one of us that we must deny, we must disown. This is a part of ourselves that we must every day refuse to associate with if we wish to follow Christ, if we wish to take care of our souls. As Christian believers, God has enabled us to do this through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. However, it is a constant struggle to do so, is it not? Everybody here knows that. There is a constant battle between the new nature, who believes in Jesus as Savior and Lord and wants to always follow Him, always show Him our love. And then the old nature, our flesh, who wants to live for self, who doesn't want to follow Jesus, who doesn't want to give up the things of this life. Denying oneself means turning off the TV, perhaps. Or these days, turning off the phone or the iPad or what have you. Or use them to read the Bible. Pray for your family. Pray to help someone. I understand by the announcements that there are people that have passed. Take time to pray for the family. It means giving up your sinful pleasures, your sinful habits, and focus your life instead on how God directs your life in Scripture. It can mean giving up your comfort to serve in some ministry here at church, or to serve the Lord in some other way. Denying yourself means that you consciously fight against sin in your life in order to serve Jesus. Jesus also mentioned taking up your cross and following Him. Now, Jesus is not speaking here of any trial or any difficulty in life. By taking up one's cross, Jesus is referring to the difficulty, the suffering a believer goes through because they are Christian, because they follow Christ. I direct your thoughts to the disciples of Jesus who live in other places in the world, the Mideast, Africa, Asia. Following Christ for them could mean being tortured or killed. But the crosses we bear more than likely will not result in that for us. Nevertheless, as we follow our Savior and say no to our flesh and say no to society who doesn't believe, we will experience trials and ridicule, unfair treatment, like many believers in our own country who have lost their businesses, been fined many, a lot of money because they follow Christ. Because they live according to His Word. This is taking up our cross and following Jesus. This is saying who Jesus is by how we live our lives. Living according to His Word is how we take care of our souls. Now, you might be thinking, boy, am I in trouble. How does my life describe what I think of Jesus? I don't always think about Jesus. I don't always say godly things. I don't always do what Jesus wants me to do. I don't always deny my sinful desires. I don't always take up my cross and follow Him, even when it hurts. Sometimes I avoid living according to God's Word because I don't want to have trouble. Why am I in trouble? Yes, you are. I am too. So what do we do? We get specific with our Lord. We don't run away from Him. We run to Him. That's what I love about the liturgy in our church. What did we do at the beginning? Confess our sins. We ran to Him. We ran to our baptism. In our baptism, we are connected, united with Jesus' death and resurrection. That's why we have forgiveness in baptism. We receive the holy absolution. I forgive you all your sins. The Lord did that through the ordained pastor. So go to him, confess your sins, and then rely on him because he saved you. Cling to the one who suffered so much and was forsaken by the Father. Cling to Jesus who rose again in victory over your sins. This is your forgiveness. This is your strength to live. In this service, we have the opportunity, the wonderful privilege to receive simple bread and wine. With the words of consecration, we also receive Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. We are forgiven. We are strengthened to live and take care. That's how we take care of our soul. So continue to read and think about His Word and go and put what we hear and read in the Bible into action in our lives. This is how we take care of our souls. Let us end today by praying these words of the poet, a favorite hymn, I think of Dorothy Gerloff when I think these words. Lord, take my hand and lead me upon life's way. Direct, protect, and feed me from day to day. Without your grace and favor, I go astray. So take my hand, O Savior, and lead the way. Lord, when the tempest rages, I need not fear. You, the Rock of Ages, are always near. Close by your side abiding, I fear no ill, no foe. For when your hand is guiding, in peace I go. Lord, when the shadows lengthen and the night has come, I know that you will strengthen my steps toward home. Then nothing can impede me, O blessed friend. So take my hand and lead me unto the end.